We are a combined Sunday school class, so our adult classes are combined. I don't know if we see a few people wandering from the other side. We make sure we spread the word, and but you've got the memo. You're in the right place, and we'll look forward to Kenny and Rowan being back, as well as the Elliots. They're coming back this week, so we can start with our prayer requests and praises. And let's put them on there as well as we're thinking about them traveling, Kenny, the Blakes, and the Elliots. All right, and we have the Geyers are away this week as well. They're up in North Dakota, so pray for their safety as they come back on Monday. And Lord, we'll give them an, the Geyers. Yeah, so they're away. And then we can pray for the Brocks. They're away. And they'll be traveling back. I'm not sure exactly when, but so be and keep them in prayer as well. Anyone else traveling that we know of here? Okay, Charlie. Yes. Okay. Okay. So Becky's coming in this week. So oh, Friday. Okay. Oh, so she's traveling back. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. So we'll pray for Becky and as they travel and travel back. Thought I saw a hand. Yes, Gary. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Amen. Amen. We can trace his divine hand and the providence of things that he allows. And thank the Lord it went out not on the trip. And yes, that would have been, that was so. Praise the Lord for God's provision for Hannah and Levi and for little Will, so they'll have a safe trip home. So. All right, we can pray for the Eastwoods today. There was, they had, I want to say, anyway, just, I'm not exactly sure how much I'm supposed to share, but they end up having to go to the ER today, and so, with accident home, so just pray for them that they will, everything will turn out well for them. I don't know any news on it, just know that so I don't think it's, I really don't know anything. I just know the nature they weren't going to be here because of that, so so keep them in your prayers. All right, anyone else? Yes, Amber? Okay. All right, so Amber's dad's surgery is this Wednesday, so let's keep him in prayer. All right, anyone else? Yeah. That's right, with his ears and everything. Yeah, let's pray for Mike, Joyce's husband. So yeah, I don't know any update on that, but continue to keep him in prayer. And Brother James Stark is traveling. I remember he's out with his at his dad's place over the weekend, trying to settle things with their estate and out there. So keep them in your prayers as well. Under that. All right. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Okay. Hmm. Amen. So that is a praise. So it's good to see you guys. So you guys safety back and forth. So it's good to have you today. Yeah, lots of time on the road. So and that does kind of remind me. Continue to pray for Ernie Michael. He was having a sore place on his lip, and they weren't sure whether that had become cancerous or not, but they had a test, and it came back as negative this week, so that's the Lord's mercy. And he has agreed to have a Bible study with me. We just have to see it happen, so that the Lord will work it out to be able to do that. And continue to pray for Ernie, that he'd be willing to listen to the gospel and to heed God's word. So, yes, sir. Right. Okay. Yes. Well, we're glad that you made it back safely, Ryan, out in Washington, D.C., a part of lobbying senators and representatives out there. So praise the Lord for that important work. So it's good, good to hear him well. Pray for the impact there. Anyone else? All right, yes. Pray for Doug and Shelley as they go into the jail. God will give people willing. As I said, the Chiefs play today, so when football starts, you start seeing a little bit decrease in terms of those who are willing to come out. But the Lord knows, we can. Sometimes you need those one-on-one opportunities, though. Those small groups, you can get down really specific. So, and yeah, the cable internet just goes. Nyah. So, yeah, very good. All right, anyone else? Pray for these. Alrighty. See, let's pray for our country. I think there's an aspect of which we see the rise in violence and things that are taking place across our land, and we can pray specifically for the Kirk family and the things that have taken place. It's a very sad situation there, and yet the Lord knows how to bring good out of evil, and so we. We trust them to him. So. Anyone else? Yes.
I just have a sister that's sick. The last 3 weeks she's had a fever off and on. So we're running bunches of tests. And it's, I guess in South Carolina, they're just so backlogged with lots of things because of the hurricane last year. So she's having to wait a very long time to get everything back.
Okay. All right, yeah, let's pray for Elizabeth's sister. She just found out that she'd been sick for several weeks and not really there. Doctor's unsure of exactly what it is, but when you're throwing up and you're running a fever, sure it'd be nice to find out as soon as possible. So be in prayer for Elizabeth's sister. Okay, anyone else to add to these? Okay. If not, we'll have a chance to pray together a little bit later, Lord willing. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. We are just looking at Jesus Christ's statements on prayer and asking him to teach us how to pray. And as we turn back to Matthew chapter 7, you're probably very familiar. What portion of Scripture is Matthew chapter 7 a part of? The Sermon on the Mount. Very good. Very good. And so this is the last chapter. And we looked at one other thing of Jesus' teaching. And if you weren't there for that, that's okay. We'll review that a little bit. But in chapter 6, he talks about that we can go to the Father in prayer, and he wants us to go in secret because the Lord is there in secret. He is a God who dwells in secret. He is the invisible God. And so this aspect of God wants to be found, and he wants to reward us openly. And he gives us that pattern of prayer that we looked at last time in Matthew 6. And so he teaches us one more lesson before that sermon is done. He wants to teach us. Maybe some consider this one of the most important aspects of prayer. Now, on one side, what drives you and opens the heart to say, I come to the Lord, you can put on one side, the fatherhood of God, that God is going to receive me in His love. He when I come and I bow my head and I begin to talk to God, I need to call Him my Father. I need to have the assurance that He loves me. That's important. But what He wants to really emphasize here in Matthew 7 is that prayer will be heard and prayer will be answered. Let's read these verses together. It says, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find." I'm sorry. "Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him." Do you see how he repeats in similar language, similar syntax, over and over again here, three different times? He says, "Ask, and it shall. Seek, and ye shall. Knock, and it shall." And his response to that. And then he turns back over and he says, "Here's the law of the kingdom of God. For, here's, this is the reason why it happens. Everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." Now you have to ask the question, how much new information was given in verse 8 over verse 7? You might be able to identify a few pieces there and here and there, but the reality is he's using the same words. He's giving the same promise. He's stating it forth in terms of a command, and then he's stating it as a principle, as a fact of God's immutable counsel of what He is determined to do. And so we have a sixfold repetition to impress deeply upon our minds one truth that you and I may say that we believe, but does it really refresh us? Does it make us giddy? Does it give us confidence when we go to prayer? "Ask, and it shall be given unto you." Everyone that asks receives. Now, there's an aspect to which our author points out a few things in terms of, and I think it's interesting. I'm not sure, take it for what it's worth, but I think it's if you were to break down these particular commands, ask, seek, knock, there's an element that which asking can refer to probably the gifts that we want to receive from the Father. Seeking, though, often doesn't refer to things. It refers to seeking the Lord Himself. And so there's an element to which possibly there's a progression here going beyond just asking for the things that we need, but then seeking for the Lord who is the giver of those gifts. And then knocking has this aspect of desiring to have an abiding, I want to come in. I want to have a relationship. I want to have an extended fellowship. It's not just talking about, and so there may be an aspect of which God is leading us towards what does He ultimately want us to do. He wants to bring us through this aspect of prayer into fellowship with Him, a deeper, more consistent, lifelong fellowship. We talked about this when we were talking about prayer is not limited to a place. God doesn't want us to have our prayer and our fellowship with God just limited to just certain times and certain places. Our religion placed in a box, our walk with God in church, you know, in terms of just in our prayer closet, He wants it to be every part of our life is an ongoing aspect of that fellowship. I think this is certainly true in what God wants to do in our lives. So, if you're asking and receiving the gifts, and which leads you to seeking and finding the giver, which again leads you to knocking and opening the door to the Father's home and His love, God wants you and I to understand that when we begin this process, it is not in vain. If God had to repeat something six times, Does that maybe indicate something to us about our own thoughts, our own hearts? Are we inclined not to believe this? Are we inclined to doubt? Are we inclined to say, well, I prayed and I didn't get anything? Are we inclined to judge God's words by our own experience? Will we allow ourselves to judge our experience by God's word? It's an interesting aspect to which God wants us to lay hold of the promise. And that is not an easy work. God wants us to have a full confidence and assurance that this really is a fixed law of His kingdom. If you ask, you will receive. And so, I think there's an element that says we want to ask the question, to some degree, why do we not receive at times? And we'll try to come to that. But I think there's an element here that if we look at these words, they are in the present tense. Be asking, and it shall be given. Be seeking, be knocking, for everyone that is asking receives, and everyone that is seeking, and everyone that is knocking. And the idea behind this present tense is it's an ongoing asking, and an ongoing seeking, and an ongoing knocking. And so within this element, there is a command not only to pray, but there is a command to keep on praying. So there's part of this, and really there is no greater stimulus to what we call persevering prayer, in which you ask for something, and you ask for something, and you keep on asking, and you keep on asking, to know that if you ask, you will receive. And so let's take God's word with simplicity. Let's just be bold enough to take God's word at face value. And I honestly believe that when you go to prayer, that you ought to think of these words every single time you pray. Just like when you're on your way to your quiet place, you're going to your closet, the place where you can shut the door and you can get alone with God. How can you go there without thinking of Jesus' command that I'm fulfilling what God told me to do? He told me to do this. So that when you begin to pray and you begin to ask God, be reminded. Allow God's word to be at the front of your mind that says, God, you've said if I just keep asking that I will receive. So, we need to be careful not to weaken the clear statement of God by human wisdom. If Jesus Christ is going to tell us of heavenly realities and heavenly truths, will you and I not believe them? Who better than to know than Jesus Christ himself? There's an aspect to which prayer consists of two parts, human side and a divine side. The human side is asking for God, and the divine side is God giving an answer to those requests. In this part, the asking is seen the human part. The receiving is the divine part in terms of seen from man's perspective. And so what does God want us to do? He doesn't want us to rest until we have an answer. He wants us to keep praying and praying because you know that God has promised everyone that asks, they receive. Now, there is an element to which we can pull off, and we're going to talk about a few of these things. Sometimes we can stop praying and we can call it, I'm resigning myself to the will of God. When God really wants us to keep on praying, He wants us to keep persevering. And in fact, there's an element where it can be much easier. I'll quote this. He says, it is far easier to the flesh to submit without the answer than to yield itself to be searched and purified by the Spirit until it has learned to pray the prayer of faith. I think that's pretty good. When you pray and you don't get the answer, right away. Something's going to take place. You're going to say, God, I'm asking. Now, this assumes that you're going to ask for things that you can know whether you got the answer or not. If you just bow your head and say, Dear Father, please bless all the people in the world. Well, bless my family. Yes, I mean, you can identify some of those things, and there's some general aspects, but many times we retreat behind very general words because we're not really seeking any specific thing from God. We're afraid to ask, because if we ask, we wouldn't receive it. And if we didn't receive it, then we'd have to wrestle with this truth and this promise. And part of what God wants to do is the purifying work of the Holy Spirit in regards to asking and receiving prayer. And He is going to do a work that begins to, you know, I just speak out of the test of my own life and those that I hear and read of others. I don't know how, I can read about others' experiences. I can kind of see my own. The reality is God purges us through unanswered prayers. It gets us, moves us closer and closer, because part of it is God hears us when we hear Him. That's a scriptural aspect that goes back to the king. He says, you would not listen to me, I will not listen to you. And so if you are asking for God to hear your prayer, He will inevitably ask you to hear His word. You can't get around that. And so I'd rather not really have to be in the business of having a direct, interactive walk with God in which I pray and I expect answers, because I don't have that interactive work of God and I'm not willing to do what it takes to get it. Therefore, my prayers can retreat into obscurity. And I ask for generalities and I go away content, expecting nothing concrete, looking for nothing in people's lives. When we think of God interacting with us, how do you know that God is the living God? Well, I know that I'm alive and He continually sustains me. We sing that song. How do you know He lives? He lives. I talk with Him each day. I see Him respond. He talks with me. Now, there is fellowship in prayer. There's responsiveness to that. And part of that is God leading us in this answer to prayer. But part of that is seeing God at work answering your prayers. You begin to pour out your heart before Him, and you see God move and work. It assures you and gives you great confidence. I serve the God who hears and answers prayer. He listens to me. And say, the young person grows up, and they fall away from the faith. I would say 95% of the time, that young person never learned to ask and receive from God. Because they fall away because God's not real and alive to them. And they don't have interaction. And they don't see God at work, moving, and answering prayer. Now, sometimes the prayers are not according to God's word. Does God say no? I think you can think of three instances where God says no. Yep, all right, my grace is sufficient. So the Apostle Paul, that's the last one, number three. Anybody else want to think of somebody where God says no to a great man of God? All right, I heard someone say Jesus, yep, and Gethsemane, not my will. David, okay, yeah, that's good. David at the temple, that's a good one. I hadn't even thought of that one. Abraham, remind me of that one. Moses, okay, that's the one I was thinking of. Yes. Okay. I was like, boy, I'm sure that's probably right, but yep, Moses. He wanted to go into the promised land. Did those three servants of God, did God reveal to them that it wasn't his will? Did they wander on and on and on, not knowing what God's will is for them in terms of prayer? Oh, yes, we can ask, and God wants us to ask. Remove this thorn from my side, Lord, please, I beg of you. But God spoke, and God told the Apostle Paul, this is my answer to you. I am not removing the thorn, but I am going to give you grace. Everyone who asks receives. Now, you receive exactly what you've asked for? Many times not. But God takes the filter of the request. Sometimes I'm asking for the stone and he's giving me the bread. And I've got to understand what he wants to give me is exactly what God's doing in my life. But I must trust him. God wants to bring us to that place where we say, not my will be done. Your will is what's most important. And when we come to this idea of unanswered prayer, many times God is bringing us to that place where we're willing to submit our will to his will. And so there's an element that says, keep praying. Keep on praying until God shows you that's not his will, answers and redirects your prayer, and that because he is going to direct his children. He is not going to leave you in a place. And if you think, I believe this is according to God's word, and God has led me to pray this by his Holy Spirit, and I just want to keep on asking, and God hasn't changed, I don't have the answer yet, then the answer is keep on praying. If you believe, well, the promise of God that everyone who keeps on asking receives, you'll keep going. But if you don't believe, and you're filled with doubt and unbelief, you know what's going to happen? You'll stop praying. I tried that. I was real faithful for 2 months. And nothing happened. We call it waiting on God. If you believe, you will continue. And there's an aspect to which we need the divine reality of faith to take hold of our lives in this power of his Holy Spirit. To keep on believing. Keep on trusting that when God has said, if you will ask, you shall receive. And God will begin to grow your faith as you begin to pray. You think about different things. You say, Lord, here's the need. But Lord, please lead me and guide me. To show me what specifically do you want to do. And you begin to wait and listen on God. Now you could pray for someone's salvation. That's a wonderful thing to pray for. Pray for that. But can you pray something more specifically than that? Are there not parts and pieces towards that? Could you not pray for them to have someone else come across their path? I'm not saying in place of me, but I'm just saying, could you not pray that God would use a verse of Scripture in their life? Can you not pray that God would use what you have done specifically? Can you not narrow it down to something and begin to ask and pray and say, God, I want to see. So that when you get on the phone with that person or when you hear from that person, you're looking to see, has God answered my prayer? Do we live that kind of expectancy, faith, confidence in the Word of God? Now, there's one aspect that I want to touch on before we leave, and maybe that's an aspect. I wanted to finish with the high note. I kind of got out of order a little bit. Don't ever, ever think that when God answers a prayer, that it's because finally I got into line. Finally, I've attained. Finally, I can, and we begin to get this very, very wrong fallacy that God's answer to prayer is in response specifically to who I am, my faith, my righteousness, my diligence. Now, God's not going to do it apart from those things, but he never does it because of those things. Does that make sense? It's always because of his grace, the cross, the will of God. Yes, all these things are right in terms of that. And so if when God answers a prayer request of yours, don't be like, well, I don't want to share it with everybody because they'll think I'm being proud. Baloney. God doesn't answer your prayer requests because of who you are. He does it because of who Jesus is. And answer prayer brings glory to God, not to us. I love it when someone tells me that someone's been praying and God answered. God, I've been praying for this specifically and God begins to move. Do you know what that does in my heart? It stirs my faith. I want to pray too. I want to do some asking and I want to do some receiving because everyone who asks receives. And everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks finds the door wide open to them. May God encourage us. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer here. I've finished a little bit sooner than I thought, but that's okay. That's in the Lord's providence here as well. You can pray with somebody else. We've got about 15 minutes if you want to. Or if you say, you know what, there's some asking I need to do. Or maybe you might say, there's some confessing I need to do. Have some unbelief in my life that I have not claimed this promise, but by God's grace, I want to believe what God has said and take it with me into the prayer closet. Let's dismiss, break up into different groups, and spend the rest of our time in prayer.